Good morning. I was at Easter camp last weekend as cook. And before I start, I want to say a big thank you to Shania and her team and worship leader Lana. As a team, they did a fantastic job. And I was literally a fly on the wall because I was in the kitchen and I could hear and see everything through the porthole, and they had a new fly zapper in the kitchen, and it's working very well, but it didn't get me. But seriously, it was wonderful to see these kids give their lives to the Lord and to recommit, and I was the only sort of older adult through the whole camp, so I feel I need to report back to you and just to say what a great, great job she did, and we really need to get behind her as a church. My message today leads on from this, because there are children young people who gave their lives, and what happens after you give your life to Christ? What happens then? It's actually a process. So my message today is about this, and it will be a blessing, a challenge, and a catalyst for change. So let's open in prayer. Lord, I thank you for what you did at Easter Camp, and I thank you what you're doing in our lives. I thank you that your Holy Spirit is in the business of transformation. You don't just call us. Jesus doesn't just save us, but there is more after that. So Lord, I ask that you'd guide me and lead me, and that people here would be challenged and would really be changed by the end of this message. Amen. So the title of my message, it doesn't show up there. Oh, that's not helpful. okay. All right, thank you. The title of my message, otherwise I'm going to be rubbernecking. The title of my message is Transformation, a Process of Change. And I'm going to start with a story. Several years ago, I was driving from Whanganui to Stratford. And whenever I do intercity driving and long distance, I ask the Holy Spirit to guide me regarding picking up hitchhikers. Sometimes he says, no, not that one. And as I'm driving past, I go, ooh, I'm glad it wasn't that one. Yeah. But in this case, I felt led to pick up a man who looked rough, heavily tattooed with dreadlocks. When he got in, he had a strong smell of body odour and scratched his head a lot. And I thought, maybe head lice. Oh, Lord, did I hear you right? I really started to doubt. Anyway, I welcomed him and we introduced ourselves. His name was Tama. After a few minutes of conversation, he asked me, what's a nice lady like you doing picking up a woman, a man like me? I've been in prison, you know. I sent up a quick prayer and I replied, Jesus asked me to pick you up because he knows you need help. And I've lost my place. That's right. A long pause followed, and then a lot of swearing, and then amazement. He could not believe it. He stated, I'm a Christian. And I was asking God to help me get a lift to New Plymouth. It turned out he was a new Christian and had given his life to Jesus only 3 months prior through prison ministry. He had been in prison several times. I'm going to use Tama to illustrate my message of transformation. I will come back to him as his story is amazing. We spent just over 2 hours together, so we talked about a lot of things. I'm basing my message on 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God himself sanctify or transform you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This verse is exciting because it talks about transformation. It says we'll be transformed through and through. That is every part of our being. It describes change occurring in spirit, soul, and body. And I'm going to expand on this. The dictionary defines transformation as a marked change in form, appearance, and nature. It's essentially changing from one thing to another. It reminds me of transformers and butterflies. The butterfly has always amazed me. When we were children, we had a swan plant in the backyard, and when the chrysalis would form, we'd carefully pick it off and pin the silk bit in our porch, and we'd watch them change and go black, and then out would come this butterfly. It was absolutely amazing. And it still staggers me today how that happens. I just don't get it. How a caterpillar goes to a pupa and a chrysalis and then a butterfly. But that's what God does in us. How does it start? Jesus starts by knocking at the front door of your life. If you respond and invite him in, he comes in and you are saved. He is in your life. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone has invited Jesus into their life, the new creation has come. The old sinful self has gone. The new transformed self is here." Okay, so this implies that transformation happens instantly and poof, we're changed. But we all know that's not true. You all know I interrupt. I'm not a particularly good listener at times. You know I can sometimes have pride. You know sometimes I have insecurities. We're not perfect, okay? So what is he saying? What it means is that you are a new creation. You are a new creation, so be the new creation you were meant to be. I'm going to say that again. You are a new creation, so be the new creation you are meant to be. You are saved, but Jesus keeps saving you from your sinful self. Okay? Yeah. Excuse me. Another way of saying it, you are saved. Oh, I've said that. You are a sinner who is saved. This means your transformation is a process that occurs during the whole of your Christian life. This is why Paul talks about being changed through and through. It's like filling the shoes you've been given. You start as a baby in your faith. And as you grow, you fit the shoes more and more. You won't fit them perfectly until you get to heaven. Okay, that's when you become perfect. Only then is our transformation complete and perfect. Coming back to the verse about transformation, Paul explains how this happens. You are transformed in your spirit, soul, and body. The word spirit and soul are often used to mean the same thing, but Paul is making a distinction by using both terms. They are not the same. The spirit is our spiritual side, the side that relates to God, hears him speak and responds to him. The soul is the essence of who we are, our personality, talents, interests, etc. It includes our mind and thinking. The body is the physical form that our spirit lives in. When we invite Jesus into our lives, our bodies become a place that the Holy Spirit lives. Paul is outlining these different aspects of who we are because our faith is not just belief of the mind. It's not just intellectual. Satanists believe in God and they actively work against him. Some people can go to church and believe with their minds, follow religious ritual, live a good life, and still miss out on salvation. What makes the difference? John 3:3 says, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit living in you, causing change in all the areas of your life. This is the key to transformation. It means being changed from our sinful selves into people who reflect Jesus more and more. We take on the character and nature of Jesus." Isn't that marvelous? We take on the character and nature of Jesus. Now, coming back to Tama, he told me what Jesus had done in his life, even though it had only been 3 months. Jesus was transforming him from a violent gang member to a new man in Christ. Using the words of Acts 26:18, applying it to Tama, and I want you to think about applying it to yourselves, okay, personalize it. The Holy Spirit opened his eyes and turned him from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that he received forgiveness of sins and has a place among those who are transformed by faith in Jesus. He stopped drinking alcohol. He quit drinking the day after he was baptized. He said that when he was drunk, he would become violent and get into trouble. He was making better choices, like wanting to be a better dad and role model to his children and not go back to prison. He was building a relationship with God and starting to pray. That's why he prayed for a lift. That was huge for him. He was enthusiastic and very willing to talk about what God had done for him. Already, he was a witness. He was still rough and ready. He used swear words for adjectives like Jesus is bleeping awesome. Okay. He was in the process of being transformed from the old sinful self to someone who was reflecting Jesus more and more. This floor plan represents your life and the different aspects that make up who you are. Jesus is in the entry. Okay, you've asked him in and you're saved. Once God is in your life, the process of transformation begins. It is a life of learning, letting him into those different rooms. So, first is learning how to live a life that honors God. We are to strive for holiness. That's why the cat is praying. But we don't have to literally do that to pray. I'm not saying we have to be religious. That means doing what is right and living God's way. But here lies a paradox. We gain more freedom by relinquishing our freedom. Go figure. How does that work? We gain more freedom by giving up our freedom. Doesn't make sense. It's a question of power and surrender. The more we let go of our power, the more freedom and peace we experience. Now, this is opposite to the attitude of the world, which is me, me, me. Our sinful nature wants to do what makes us feel good and to be in control of all we do. The surrendered self is one who relinquishes power to God and trusts God to make good decisions for us. It's not surrendering our will, but using our will to choose to do things God's way. So you still have free will, but he wants us to choose him. He wants us to choose to do things his way, because we learn that it's the best way. I'll give an example from my own life. Back in 1981, in my single days, I'd recently finished my nursing training, and not that one. Go back. Yeah, we're not up to there. And I had finished my nursing training. I'd done a year's nursing, and I was called to missions, and I wanted to know, Lord, what do I do now? What area of nursing do you want me to do? Do I go overseas? Do I stay? And I was really not sure what to do. And God kept bringing people into my life, women who were missionaries or home on furlough and things, and they said, you have to do your midwifery. You have to do your midwifery. And I wasn't really keen on doing that. It's not an area that really interested me. I like medical and surgical, not weeping women and hormones and women screaming in labour and things. It didn't really appeal to me. Okay, so I got to a point where I said, okay, Lord, if this is what you want me to do with all the little signs you've been giving me, I'm willing to do it, but you need to change my heart. You need to give me a desire to do it. I don't want to be a martyr doing this, okay? So cut a long story short, I went to England to do it. It was the best training in the world, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. He gave me excitement for it. He gave me compassion and empathy. He trained me very well over there, 18 months, and his way was the right way. See, I chose to surrender my will to him, and it ended up being a blessing. It ended up being a skill that would be very useful for the mission field. So God knew what he was doing, and yet if I had chosen my way, I would have missed out on that blessing. See? So now we can have the next slide. We learn, the second thing is learning to know God in Scripture. We learn about God from the Bible, who he is, what he does, and his relationship with us. When we read the Bible, the truth in it speaks to our spirit and mind. Sometimes, you know how you can read a passage several times over and it's, oh, very nice. And then the next time you come to it, pow, it just jumps out at you. It hits you. It really hits you. And you know that's God talking to you. And that truth goes into your spirit, goes into your mind, goes into your heart and causes change, causes action. That's what it does. That's what it's meant to do. If you open to the Holy Spirit when you read the Bible, then the truth of the Word of God causes change in you. The third thing is learning to build trust in God. As you learn more about God, it becomes easier to trust him and your faith grows. As you step out, God comes through, you see him coming through, and then you can trust him for something bigger next time. Now, story, not yet, sorry. It says story of job at Middlemore. Okay. Another story. Back, please. Back. Story of job at Middlemore. Okay. So, back in 1990, I'd finished Bible college, and I was again, seeking the Lord as to what I should do. And I can't see you, that's better. And saying, Lord, I really need to consolidate my midwifery and do more. I'd love a job at Middlemore Delivery Suite, where they have cross-cultural, lots of different cultures coming into that hospital. Be really good experience. And as I was praying about it, I felt the Lord saying that I was to work at Middlemore and ask for 4 days a week. I rang up, no job. Oh. I put in my CV anyway in faith, believing it was where God wanted me to be. And as time was ticking by and my savings were going down, I was a poor student having just finished college. I was down to my last $80 and my faith was struggling a bit. And I think, I wonder if I should apply for other jobs just to hedge my bets, you know, and cover myself just in case. And Lord challenged me on that. He said, no, I've made it clear I want you to be at Middlemore. And when I'd made that decision, no, I will trust God for this, I got a phone call. They said, can you start next week? One of their staff nurses had had a bad accident and was going to be off work for months and months. So I got the job I wanted, and it was 4 days a week. And God came through. And so my faith was built. And I thought, it makes it easier next time to trust God. And so part of being a new Christian and growing in faith are these steps. And he doesn't ask you to do anything that is beyond your level of faith. He just wants to grow it. So, the dog. So, learning to grow in faith. This dog stepped out big time with this epic fetch. Amazing. How is your faith? Can you do what that dog did? Step out with something huge like that. Tama stepped out in faith by asking God for a lift, and God gave him a lift and so much more. He got encouragement, wise advice, and a meal. I also prayed for him. His faith grew that day and he was blown away. God answered his prayer, and Tama learnt that God can be trusted, and his faith grew. The fifth thing, learning to look after our... it should be learning to look after our bodies. The one before it. Paul asks us to look after our bodies because the Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Are you caring for your body or abusing it in some way? I don't know how that cat could even go outside. Certainly wouldn't fit through the cat door. We are asked to look after our bodies. Paul makes that clear. The sixth thing, learning to live a moral life. We are encouraged to turn away from immoral things. 1 Corinthians 6:18. We are encouraged to turn away from things that can trip us up or dishonour God. God has boundaries for our protection and welfare. The do's and don'ts that God has for us in the Bible are there for building our relationship with God, not cramping it. Okay, they're there to build our relationship with him and to give us a life of blessing. Everything we see, do, speak, and think is witnessed by the Holy Spirit. Big brother is watching. But it's true. Nothing is hidden. And that's quite scary. It makes you sit up and take notice. You cannot hide from God. Everything we see, do, speak, and think is witnessed by the Holy Spirit. Does that mean God has a big stick waiting to pounce on every little thing we do wrong? No. He's actually very gentle. The Holy Spirit taps our conscience. Remember that door knocking? The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin so that we might change what we are doing. He doesn't barge his way in, but knocks on the doors in your life. And I say plural, doors. Because remember that picture of a floor plan of a house. There are doors in there. There are cupboards in there. And he knocks on these and asks to come in to change that. You have to invite him in past the front door. We have this choice. We work with God to change. When we allow the Holy Spirit to put his finger on sin and we are set free from that sin, then blessing, peace, and freedom follows. You may think that what you've done or are doing is too big, too horrible for God to forgive, but he loves you. He hates the sin, but loves you, the sinner. Whatever the sin is, there is nothing that will shock God and nothing he cannot forgive. The last thing is learning to guard against temptation. The internet makes it easy to sin in secret. I've already said how the Holy Spirit knows everything you do. Do you have a secret sin? I spoke to Tama about temptation and making changes in his life. Things like having friends around him who build him up, not pull him down. We discussed his gang friends and advised him not to go to the gang headquarters, but to have his friends over to his place, one at a time, ask them not to bring drugs or alcohol, to set boundaries, be a witness and a friend to them. And he was happy with that. Speak no evil, see no evil, hear no evil. There's a lot of truth in this saying. What are you speaking, seeing, and hearing? When I was 17, I had records of groups like Eagles and Pink Floyd, who were popular at the time. When I listened to the lyrics, I realized that what was being sung was not good. The Holy Spirit challenged me, and I made a decision to break the records and get rid of them. Another area that the Holy Spirit challenged me on was reading Mills and Boone romance novels in my teens. They were filling my head with unrealistic romantic fantasies and making me lose sight of trusting God for my future partner. I stopped reading them. Those are just examples. Back to the floor plan. I've said how our lives are like a house. We are saved. But how willing are you to let him change you through and through? How many doors and cupboards are you willing to open when he knocks? How willing are you to let him into every part of your life, even those areas of secret sin? So I'm going to summarize with this overhead. It's very simple to deal with sin. God makes it easy for us. First, you need to know why it is sin. Then acknowledge the sin to yourself and God. This is confessing. Ask God for forgiveness. Receive God's forgiveness. And then make changes to ensure the sin stops, and that is repentance. You turn away from it and don't do it again. That's repentance. It's more than just being sorry. 1 John 1:9, if we admit our sins, make a clean breast of them, he won't let us down. He'll be true to himself. He'll forgive our sins and purge us of all wrongdoing. You may need help to make the changes, such as if you have an addiction. You may need deliverance from demonic forces to truly break free. some temptations that are given into open a door to demonic oppression, making it hard to break free. Ask the Holy Spirit to put his finger on areas in your life that need to be transformed. Please come forward for prayer and ministry if God has put his finger on something in your life and you feel, yes, I need to deal with this. Come forward for prayer, confess, receive God's forgiveness. If there is something in your life that you're not sure whether it's sin or not, come forward and ask, and we'll make it clear. I'm challenging you to take another step in your transformation journey. This is your chance to put things right in your life and to take steps to be transformed through and through. So as the worship team finish with this last song, the words are fantastic. And just come forward while they're singing.